Good morning, may it please the court. We're here. My name is Faisal Estrabadi. I represent the plaintiff appellant. This is a case in which the district court dismissed the case based upon its finding that we had that the plaintiff had not properly served Officer Brett Mize, the defendant in this matter. Now, I'd like to get through what I believe is very important, and that is the sort of the procedural history of the case, which is this, that first of all, the allegations of the complaint are that the plaintiff, who is a Department of Corrections employee, was attending a training session required of him by the Indiana Department of Corrections, and that during that training session, the defendant, Officer Mize, used excessive force and did so deliberately, and those facts are set forth in the complaint, and made comments which indicated that he intended deliberately to injure the defendant, the plaintiff, during the training exercise. Now, that's an important consideration because the district court found that we did not serve Mr. Mize at the place of his employment. Service was attempted or perfected, as a, depending on one's point of view, on the Indiana Department of Corrections in Indianapolis, whereas Mr. Mize is physically employed at the Wabash Valley facility, not at the Indianapolis office of the Department of Corrections. Now, procedurally, again, the facts are as
follows. That's where Mr. Claus worked as well?
No, sir. Mr. Claus worked in Michigan City, and the training occurred. He might have worked at Westville, but it was in either Michigan City or Westville, but the training occurred at the Michigan City facility. And that's very important, Your Honor, because this is not a situation where a prisoner at the Wabash Valley facility is arguing that a guard used excessive force while the prisoner was at the Wabash facility. This is a situation where the Department of Corrections required Mr. Claus to be present at a Department of Corrections training seminar, if you will, on basically on the use of force and the use of batons and so on. And Mr. the defendant, Mize, was there at the Michigan City Correctional Facility pursuant to the Department of Corrections training program. Now that is, I think, a very important consideration in determining whether it was reasonable, and Indiana uses a reasonableness test, as the court will know, and it's an objective test, a reasonableness test in assessing whether the method of service was reasonable. That's a critical distinction to make, because Mize was there for and on behalf of the Department of Corrections directly, not merely incidentally because he is employed by the Department of Corrections in some facility, but to conduct training for and on behalf of the Department of Corrections at its other facilities. I can tell you, Claus didn't even know Mize's first name. He's not sued as Brett Mize. He's sued as Officer Mize, full name unknown, and certainly didn't know at which facility he was employed. The Department of Corrections accepted service of process and summons for Mize. Ms. Wakefield signed under, which is proper under the Indiana, Your Honor will know, under Indiana trial rules, you can serve by certified mail at the place of employment. That occurred here, and Ms. Wakefield accepted service of summons on behalf of Mr. Mize. Indeed, in her affidavit later, much later, to support a motion to dismiss, Ms. Wakefield states that she routinely accepted certified mailings for officers, and that if she didn't know who the particular individual was or didn't know where that individual worked, she would take it upon herself to find that individual and transmit the certified mailing to that individual. And whether she did so in this case or not, we don't know. She doesn't say that she did not do that here in this case. Now, and again, this is important to note. We're not suing Mize because there was a car accident or because he owes us a debt. We're, again, suing him because of activity that he performed for and on behalf of the Department of Corrections, not narrowly related to his normal duties at the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility. Now, and this is important because this became a matter of some dispute. We asserted in our brief that the defendant filed a motion for enlargement of time. Generally, defendants seek an enlargement of time. What happened here is that the case was originally filed in state court. The defendants filed a request for an extension of time on the Attorney General's office on behalf of all defendants. And that is contained in the appendix. It's the last document in the appendix, in fact, in the amended appendix, at page, I believe, 70. It is 70. The defendants, by counsel, sought an enlargement of time. Later, what happens is that they remove the case, they file another request for enlargement of time, this time only on behalf of entities which should not have been sued under Section 1983 that was conceded. So that what we end up with is a situation where we're suing under the conditions and the terms that I've discussed so far, having to do with Mize acting in a larger capacity than merely as a guard at one particular facility. Service has been accepted by Ms. Wakefield. She tells you, I do this routinely. Here's my routine when I get service of certified letters for employees of the Department of Corrections. The defendants have filed a general request for additional time to plead on behalf of all defendants, or so it appears, because it says the defendants, comma, by counsel, comma, etc., whereas later on in the federal court, when they filed a second one, they were more precise. But in the first one, it appears that indeed they did file on behalf of all three defendants. And what ends up happening is that they simply failed to, or at least from our perspective, what appeared to have occurred is that they did not file an answer for that defendant. We have a clerk's entry of a default. We went from that position to having the entire case dismissed. And we believe that under Indiana's law, and I've taken obviously a tremendous amount of my time going through the facts because I think they're very important. Under Indiana law, the only question is whether under those facts it was reasonable for us to attempt to serve on the Department of Corrections. I know I get to come back up again. I hope to address the law a bit more, but I think the facts are very important. Under those circumstances, we believe that we have indeed made a reasonable attempt to apprise Myers of the instigation of the lawsuit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Steiner?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Mr. Klaus attempted to serve Brett Mize by sending a complaint and summons to the central office of the Indiana Department of Correction. Now, counsel indicates that somehow the mere fact that there was a training matter going on somehow implicates that there would be a different rule than would ordinarily apply when you're serving a person or an individual. And there's no case law in Indiana or any case law that I'm aware of that would so hold. So I think we need to make that clear to begin with. This was a situation where Mr. Klaus was attempting a personal service, a lawsuit under Section 1983 against Brett Mize. Therefore, he was not entitled to serve the Department of Correction and somehow automatically serve Mr. Mize. Under Indiana law, particularly Rule 4.1, Mr. Klaus was required to do basically one of two things: to get personal jurisdiction over Mr. Mize. He could have served him at his residence, either through copy service or certified mailing. He did not do that, we know from this record. Or he could have served him
as a practical matter. How do you find out the residence of a correctional office?
Well, you could do that, particularly if you were an employee of the Department of Correction. you could call the personnel office and just ask that the personnel office if they would provide you with that information. They might. They certainly would provide you with the place where that correctional officer worked. And that's really kind of the heart of what's going on in this particular situation.
So if you call the Indiana Department of Corrections, you say, I have a lawsuit, I want to file it against a named guard, give me his personal home address, there's any chance at all they would give that to you?
I don't know that they would do that. I don't know for certain they would not. It's not in the record. Perhaps they would not, but I know for a certainty the one thing they would do, because it's not in any way a secret, is provide the location where Mr. Mize worked, the place where he worked. That would not have been a difficult thing to determine in this case. And in fact, Indiana law does recognize, as I think probably most jurisdictions recognizes, that sometimes it is difficult to serve a person at their residence. So in this case, in order to fulfill what the Indiana court system understands to be the due process requirement in this case, that there be a reasonable notice to the individual, they allow service at the place where the employee works. Clearly, the place where Mr. Mize worked, as found by the district court in this case, and as essentially conceded by counsel, the place where he actually worked was the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility in Carlisle, Indiana, which is more than 100 miles away from the central office of the Department of Correction in Indianapolis. In looking at this case, we have to look at the case law that has been cited by both sides in this case. And there is just no case in the state of Indiana that indicates that you may serve a person personally by simply sending the process to that person's employer. The rule is, and in fact the requirement that the rule, the due process requirement that it's meeting, is that you serve the person at the place where he works. And the reason for that is very clear. If you serve the person where he actually works, it is likely he will get that particular piece of paper, the summons and the complaint. If you serve someone like Brett Mize, who's a correctional officer at the central office of the Department of Correction, it's very likely that the service will not actually notify the individual of the existence of the lawsuit. And that is because, of course, the Department of Correction is a large agency that has literally several dozen facilities located throughout the state of Indiana and thousands of employees. When you serve a person without even identifying that person's full name at his employer's home address, you're not affecting service that's reasonably calculated to notify that individual of the existence of the lawsuit. And in fact, as the evidence...
Well, it's not totally unreasonable. I mean, if you don't know where he works, if you know who his employer is, it's not totally unreasonable that you would try to serve.
That's correct. If, in fact, that person did receive notice and would then show up, appear, and participate in the lawsuit, then there would be jurisdiction of the individual. But that's not what occurred here.
Well, what happened with the state court filing where a motion for extension of time was filed on behalf of all defendants?
Well, the state did appear, but the state attorney general's office did file an appearance, but there was no appearance for Brett Mize. There was an appearance, and the record actually indicates, for the Indiana Department of Correction, and a request for an enlargement of time that was granted.
So if your appearance was just for the department and not for the individual?
I think that, in fact, she the Deputy Attorney General ultimately appeared for the state in the Department of Correction and did so again. I'm not sure we did so again in federal court, but that's what the...
What about the request for an extension of time with regard asking it for all defendants?
Well, the term all defendants was used, but of course, I think you have to look at the fact that the Attorney General's office did not actually appear for Mr. Mize, and we know from his affidavit that was submitted later with the motion to dismiss that, in fact, Mr. Mize was not aware of the existence of the lawsuit at that time.
Were there other individual defendants in the state court action?
No, there were not. The only defendants in the case were the state, the Department of Correction, and this individual, Brett Mize. So because there was no appearance for Mr. Mize in the state court proceeding, the Attorney General's office was not acting on his behalf. The use of the language may have been loose. Probably would have been better to have specifically said who your which defendants that you're asking for time, but in this particular case, the appearance coupled with the motion, I think, reasonably informs the court who you're actually seeking time for and who you're actually getting time for in that particular case. And then later, the state did move to dismiss under 11th Amendment grounds the state of Indiana and the Department of Correction, because they shouldn't have been part of a Section 1983 lawsuit at all from the beginning. If you look at the case law, too, you'll see that in Indiana, the Indiana Supreme Court, although these cases aren't directly on point, have pointed out when you try copy service at the address of the employer that that's not good enough because it's not reasonably calculated to get it to that individual. If you just serve the employer, you're not serving at the place of employment. In this case, it does involve certified mail. But if you don't send it to the place where the person actually works, it's not likely that it's going to get to that individual, which is what occurred in this particular case. And in fact, we have a situation here where Mr. Mize made it clear that he had not authorized his employer. He could have, but he had not authorized his employer to accept service of process in a personal lawsuit for him at the Department of Correction or at any other location. The case that Judge Tinder on a remand had dealt with, the Robinson case, it involved the federal prison in Terre Haute. In that situation, Judge Tinder had noted that the employee who had accepted the mail or officers there had not been authorized to accept that mail and that there wasn't properly personal jurisdiction in that situation. Same kind of situation kind of exists here. Maybe it's really even worse because we have a situation where Mr. Mize has not authorized Phyllis Wakefield to accept service of process for him yet. It's sent to the central office, not where he works. I see my time is up. I would ask that the court affirm the decision in this court dismissing the case.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner. How much time? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, sir. First, on the notion that, you know, counsel says we haven't cited any cases. Well, there aren't any, and Judge Miller said that. I mean, if there were cases, then presumably either Judge Miller would have not, you know, done this, or we would have been familiar with the case. We wouldn't be here either way. There are no cases in Indiana. That's why this matter is here on an issue under the Indiana Trial Rule 4.1 to be decided by the Seventh Circuit. The prisoner case in Terre Haute has to be distinguished on its facts. This is very important. In that case, the judge found that there was no evidence that there had been any authority given in the mailroom clerk to accept certified mailing. Here, Ms. Wakefield says that for employees of the Department of Corrections, I had the authority to do this, to accept certified mailings and to find the individuals. And if I didn't know where they were, what I was supposed to do was find them. My recollection is, and this is not in the briefs anywhere, but my recollection is that Mr. Klaus was no longer employed by the Indiana Department of Corrections at the time that we filed this lawsuit. He had no ability to call up and find out where they were. Mize doesn't know, it doesn't matter. That's not the test. The test is the reasonableness of our effort. And I've gone through the facts extensively in my first part. I won't go through that again. Copy service is very different. I know the Supreme Court, the LaPalm case, we address this in our reply brief. That's very different because service on an employer is, or at the place of employment, is never allowed for copy service. It is for a certified mailing. The idea that it has to be at the place of work, the trial rule doesn't say that. It says service at the place of employment. For these facts, given what happened here, given the facts that I went through earlier, it was perfectly reasonable for it to have appeared to Mr. Klaus and his counsel that the place of employment was indeed the Department of Corrections in Indianapolis, which organized and mandated Klaus's appearance at the training. There's more I'd like to say, but I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. Thanks again to both sides. The case will be taken under advisement, and we move.